And I've got something to give. Right?
How does that?
Your first present this Christmas season. Get out. There you go.
Isn't that great? You guys, you know what I mean? I guess it was okay. Okay. Show me you're ready. That's exactly right. Show them. They're ready too. To be ready, to show me you're ready. You're waiting. You're quiet. You're listening. You're looking. Watching. You know something's going to come. You're going to be on edge. You know something's going to come. Good job. You need something to be put in that bag, right? Okay, open up your bags. This is why I'm not using a microphone today, too, so hopefully you can hear me. And I'm just going to give you something that's in here, and you can put it in there. Now, as we go along here, and I'll get down here, excuse my back. There we go. As we prepare for Christmas, anybody have Christmas trees up?
Yes.
Okay, well, open your bags. Good job. You're getting ready for Christmas, aren't you? All right. Now, next question along with that is, have you been practicing for a Christmas program at school? Yes. Probably tired of doing that, aren't you? You get tired of those songs? Yeah, that was careful. Keep that open. How's that, Austin? You did get tired of it for a while. Well, that's because your music teachers want you when you perform. They want you to just be so good. Okay. Do you have decorations on? All right. Well, good as you guys are, you're really showing me you're ready. Here we go. You're getting ready, right? But besides the question, are you ready for Christmas? Which, a bigger question is, are you ready for Christ of Christmas? You know, there was a man called John the Baptist. And you'll hear about him in reading from the Bible. And John the Baptist was actually kind of a different person. He wore clothes made of camel's hair. Yeah. And he wore kind of like a belt. And people didn't wear a lot of belts in those days. And he ate honey and locusts. You know what a locust is? A locust is like a grasshopper. Would you ever be eating grasshoppers? This dude was a little bit different. But he traveled from land, and he was asking people if they're ready for Christ. Are you ready for Christ to come? Are you ready for the Christ of Christmas? And what he would do is people who were ready, they would come to him, and he would say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, and he would baptize them. That's why he was called John the Baptist. And he would baptize them. And he would say, I baptize you with water for repentance. But there was one coming who was more powerful. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, we hear the question, are you ready for Christmas? And we hear that over and over and over again. And sure, we're getting ready. We have our trees up and decorations out and presents bought, and we think of Christmas and, oh, man, that's a fun time, because it's Santa, and it's getting presents. But we want to be ready for the Christ of Christmas, and that is not just receiving, but it's giving. It's giving of yourself. It's giving time to someone. It's giving love to someone. It's giving a hug to someone. And so this Christmas season, be open to having Christ be a part of it. And have Him come into your life and help God make us all a little nicer, a little kinder, a little friendlier, a little bit more loving. And then we would have really the Christ of Christmas. Let's end with prayer. Dear God, we want to be ready for the Christ of Christmas. So in doing so, prepare our hearts for His coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, today's gospel reading is from Genesis, various verses in chapters 49 and 50. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather round, that I may tell you what will happen to you in days to come. Assemble and hear, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Judah, your brothers, shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches down, he stretches out like a lion. Like a lioness, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes from him, and the obedience of the peoples in his. Binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine, and his robe in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the wall. The archers fiercely attacked him. They shot at him and pressed him hard. Yet his bow remained taut, and his arms were made agile by the hands of the Mighty One of Jacob, by the name of the Shepherd, the Rock of Israel, by the God of your father, who will help you, by the Almighty, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father are stronger than the blessings of the eternal mountains, the bounties of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Jacob and on the brow of him who was set apart from his brothers." Then he charged them, saying to them, "I'm about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my ancestors in a cave in the field of Ephraim the Hittite, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, near Mamre, in the land of Canaan, in the field that Abraham brought from Ephraim and Ephraim the Hittite as a burial site. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that it is in it were purchased from the Hittite." When Jacob ended his charge to the son, to his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. Then Joseph threw himself on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Joseph commanded the physicians in his service to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. They spent 40 days in doing this, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. Here ends the reading.
You may be seated. This is the word of the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. And I invite you to confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father only. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I appreciate your presence here to worship God together. And it is an honor and a privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ one more time here. After 54 months of a beautiful and incredibly challenging, rewarding, but always exciting ministry here with you in this beloved community of Alpha. And I will never forget Alpha. This has been one of the greatest experiences of my life as a neighbor. And over the time that we've lived here, this place has really become home for us. And it's really hard for me. I just want to say thank you to you for your prayers, for your love, for your ministry, for your witness, for your nurture, for your faithfulness. Thank you. So we come to finish our story, our journey. You're probably thinking, Pastor Zach, it's happening. Why are we still about Joseph? But I love it here. We just saw Jacob was dying last week and was giving his last words and was blessing his sons. And you just heard two blessings of the 12 sons. I wanted you to hear those blessings of Judah and of Joseph. Because those are blessings that are very suitable for Advent. They are prophecies of the coming Messiah. Judah is the one whose Jesus' spiritual lineage shall come through. And so Judah, he says, your brother shall praise you, your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Because Judah is the ancestor of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he goes from being the prey to being raised up, just like Jesus was seemingly the prey as he was crucified for our sins. But the Holy Spirit, God raised him up from the dead on the third day. Amen? Amen. He crouches down and he stretches out like a lion. Like a lion who dares rouse him up. See, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He's not going to come. When he comes at the second advent, he's not going to come born as a humble baby. He's going to come in the clouds with glory and the angel armies. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and the obedience of the peoples is his. In the end, Jesus will have all of the glory. And he will reflect all of the glory of God in heaven and on earth in his kingdom to give peace, to give shalom, to give rest, to give eternal life to you and I, his children. Amen? Amen. Since he binds his foal to the vine and his donkey's foal to the choice vine, Jesus would come into Jerusalem as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and people didn't recognize him, and he came humbly on the foal of a donkey on Palm Sunday. It says that he washes his garments in wine and his robe in the blood of grapes. When Jesus comes, as is prophesied in the book of Revelation, in chapter 19 it says that he comes, and when he's coming with the angel armies, they're all, and the saints, they're all wearing pure white linen. Everyone. And Jesus alone, is on his steed, on his horse, faithful and true. And the blood of the wrath of God, of the judgment of God, the winepress of God's wrath, that Jesus alone has shed for us when he went down to the place of the dead for us, and then was raised from the dead for us, to deliver our souls from sin and death and from the evil one. He alone will have the wine, the wine press, the blood, up to his bridle. Jesus alone. will wash his garments in wine and his robe in the blood of grapes. And his eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. And when Jesus comes, his eyes are going to be like flames of fire. And when he speaks, it's like a double-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. And fire consumes his enemies with the truth of the word of God. Amen? Amen. So that blessing of Judah is a blessing, a promise, a prophecy for us in Advent. And then let's go back and see how Joseph was blessed. Being a fruitful bough by a spring. It reminds me of the first Psalm, Psalm 1, that those who trust in the Lord and meditate on his law day and night, they are like a tree planted by streams of living water. And they bear fruit in their season. But Joseph says his branches run over the wall, this abundance. But the archers did attack him. The archers in the form of his brother, or even in the form of Potiphar's wife, or those who oppressed him, or hardships, or challenges, or imprisonment, even temptations to power. He continued to trust God through this story. His bow remained taut. His arms remained agile. By the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. And I love this blessing. By the God of your father, who will help you. By the Almighty, who will bless you and keep you. The blessings of heaven above. Wow. Joseph has gone through it all in this story. And now we come to where he's reconciled in his life with his past, with his family, and now with his father. Before it's too late. He's reconciled with his father, and he submits himself. Even though he's Zaphnath Paneah, the grand vizier of Egypt, the governor of Egypt, he submits himself and trusts the fate of his sons to his father, and trusts in God's promises that come down through his father, Jacob, that came down through Isaac, that came down through Abraham. That they would be a blessing to all nations, and that God would lead them home to the promised land. And Jacob had asked Joseph to bury him back with, not with Rachel, but with Leah in the family plot at Phila. And Joseph honors that request. And here's what happens next. Joseph threw himself on his father's face. He wept over him. He kissed him. He commanded the physicians and the servants to embalm his father, which that was for nobility. So the physicians embalmed Israel. They spent 40 days in doing this because that was their custom. And then they get this. The Egyptians wept over Jacob for 70 days. They wept over Jacob like they would weep over Pharaoh. And when the days of weeping during were past, Joseph addressed the household of Pharaoh. He says to the king, if I have now found favor with you, please speak to Pharaoh as follows. My father made me swear an oath. He said, I'm about to die, and in the tomb I hewed out for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Therefore, let me go up so that I may bury my father, and then I will return. And Pharaoh said, go up, bury your father, as he made you swear to do. And so Joseph went up to bury his father. With him, he went up with all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as the household of Joseph, his brothers, his father's household, only their children, their flocks and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. So basically, everyone that was of age went on a big caravan back to the promised land for his burial. And both chariots and charioteers went up with him. It was a very great company. And when they came to the threshing floor of the town, which was beyond the Jordan, they held there a very great and sorrowful lamentation. And he observed the time of mourning for his father 7 days. And then when the Canaanite inhabitants, and they were pagans, they worshipped multiple gods. Of the land saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atah. They said, this is a grievous mourning on the part of the Egyptians. And therefore the place was named Abel Mizraim. And it is beyond the Jordan. And so thus the sons of Jacob did for him as he instructed them. They carried Jacob's bones to the land of Canaan, and they buried him in the tomb of the field at Phila, the field near Mamre, which goes all the way back to his grandfather Abraham. Abraham bought his burial site from Ephron the Hittite. And after he buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. But the story's not done yet. It gets even better. There's more healing and reconciliation that needs to take place. And so, realizing their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" You know, sometimes in our lives we might forgive someone, but they might not receive it. They might not believe it. They might need to hear it again, or we might need to forgive someone again. When Jesus was asked by Peter, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my enemy? 7 times?" He says, "No, 70 times 7 times. Amen? Amen. So here's what happens. There's this big moment of tension. Is Joseph going to forgive his brothers yet again? Now, being the one in charge of the whole family now that Jacob has passed away. And so they approach Joseph, saying, "Your father gave the instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you." Those words have a lot of weight, and they're not easy to say in our lives, are they? To forgive everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, the intentional sins, the unintentional sins. The hurt, the suffering, the disappointments, the miscommunications. To forgive it all. And they say, "Now therefore, please," they're speaking on their behalf now, "forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your Father." And even though Joseph was Zaphnath-Paaneah, the most powerful person besides Pharaoh in all of Egypt, he was still their brother. And he was still the son of Jacob. And he wept when they spoke to him those words, "To forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong he did." And that's one of my favorite moments in the Bible. He could have done whatever he wanted to them and been just in doing so because he had the power and the authority. He had won, essentially, but it wasn't winning for him. All that he wanted was peace. And to be reconciled with his brothers, his father, and the promises of God. And so he forgave them. And I didn't originally plan for this to be my last sermon. But I do think it's appropriate. Because I would be the first to admit that there have been awesome things that have happened in our ministry together. But as you look around, there are some things that have been disappointing. We've had a lot of deaths. We've had our share of conflict. We've had our share of disappointments and having aspirations of things that we're hoping God will do, and then some things turn out differently. We've seen people healed. We've seen people reconciled. We've seen new people come to Christ. We've seen the homeless get homes. We've fed the hungry together. We've helped the thirsty together. We've clothed the naked together. We've breathed together. But I know that because I'm human and I'm a pastor, that there have been times where I've fallen short of the glory of God, where I've disappointed myself, the church, my family, where I have sinned, or my ignorance, or my disorganization, or my poor time management, or my miscommunication. And there might be things that I have done, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that maybe have even caused people to walk away from the church. Maybe I've done something to offend someone. But for any way that I've sinned against you, I ask for your forgiveness. To please forgive me as your brother in Christ. Who doesn't know everything, who hasn't got it all figured out, who has, as I like to think, I have failed forward in my first appointment here as your pastor. And it's been an honor, and I thank you for your patience with me. But as I think about my time here as your pastor, I praise God and I thank him. But I also have wept. I have wept bitter tears for the ways that I have failed you as a shepherd. So I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask God to bring healing for all of us, if there have been anything that I have caused to bring pain to you as a church. I ask this in Jesus' name. But does it stop there? Because here's what Joseph says. He says, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? No. And even though you may have intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. Wow. He says, don't be afraid. I'm not in the place of God. I'm not here to judge you. And even though you may have intended to do harm to me in your pain or in your jealousy or in being mad at our dad or frustrated, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. He says, so have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. And in this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Have no fear. God will provide for you and for your little ones. His Holy Spirit will reassure you. And I hope that I can reassure you that God is coming. And when he comes, you will be ready for him. Now, I don't think that anyone intended to harm me in my time here. And I certainly did not intend to harm anyone. But no matter what has happened, the good, the bad, the ugly, the holy, I believe that God is working out his will in my life and in yours and in your community. And I believe this with all my heart, that Jesus Christ transforms our lives so that your community can thrive. And I will say that till the day that I die. So I want to thank you for being faithful to the mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ in every way you can in your lives. I want to thank you for being faithful to allow Jesus Christ to transform your lives. And for you who have seen him help you to thrive and come alive in your relationships. To where in our time together, in the time of the Word, in the time of prayer, in the time in worship, in the time of silence, in the time of ministry, one another, even for our tears and our laughter. That God is preserving for you a numerous people that he wants you to reach. And he is doing a new thing today. So I assure you, have no fear. God will provide for you. Amen? So, comes the time when Joseph remains in Egypt, his father's household. He lives 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, so he became a great grandfather, or maybe great great grandfather. The children of Manasseh, son of Manasseh, were also born on Joseph's knee. So he had this full life. I'm talking to dad. And when his time came, he said to his brothers, he says, I'm about to die, but God will surely come to you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I'm about to leave. But God will come to you. And when he comes, follow him. Listen to his voice. Rejoice. And I will see you on the other side of glory. Just like he raised them up from Egypt, back to the promised land. Just like Jesus went down to the dead after he died for us on the cross for our sins and raised him up from the dead by the Holy Spirit, and he ascended to heaven for us, so we will be raised up in Christ in the twinkling of an eye when he returns for us. Amen? Amen. He will bring us to that promised land, to that forever feast, to that great banquet. So we need not fear none. And you know what? Joseph was so committed to the promises of God, he made the Israelites swear, saying, when God comes to you, not if, but when God comes to you, you will carry out my bones from here. And then Joseph died. He was 110. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And God did come. God came 400 years later to deliver the Israelites through the leadership of Moses. And God did signs and wonders and brought them out in the Exodus. And when they left at the Passover, Moses made sure that they took the bones of Joseph. to that holy covenant with God from their ancestors, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then they've kept it with him, with the Ark of the Covenant. And then after Moses passed on, and they went into the promised land to conquer, being led by Joshua after the conquest, when the land finally had rest, and they went to dwell on that promised land, Joseph took, or the bones of Joseph were taken by Joshua, which the Israelites had brought out of Egypt, and they buried them in Shechem, in the portion of ground that Jacob had bought for the children of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. And it became an inheritance for the descendants of Joseph. See, what we are to do is to pass on the promises of God to the next generation. And they are to pass it on to the next generation. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to you and I on its way to someone else. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm not very good at ties. But I want to leave you with these words. This is from Paul's letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 to 25. Therefore, encourage one another, my brothers and sisters. Build each other up, as indeed you are doing. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, and I mean this, to respect those who labor among you, and have charge of you in the Lord, and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And I'm going to rephrase that and say to you, church, I ask you to respect Reverend Karna, who will labor among you. And she will have charge of you in the Lord, and she will admonish you according to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I ask you to esteem her very highly in love, even greater than you loved me because of her work. And be at peace among yourselves, church. I urge you, beloved, to remember your responsibility to care for one another in the faith, to admonish the idlers, to encourage the faint-hearted, and to help the weak and be patient with all of them, especially with each other. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. I want to ask you to repeat this after me. Rejoice always.
Rejoice always.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
Give thanks in all circumstances.
Give thanks in all circumstances.
For this is the will of God.
For this is the will of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
For you.
For you.
Do not quench the Holy Spirit.
Do not quench the Holy Spirit.
Do not despise the words of the prophets.
Do not despise the words of the prophets.
But test everything.
But test everything.
Hold fast to what is good.
Hold fast to what is good.
And abstain from every evil.
Abstain from every evil.
I bless you with these words. May the God of peace himself sanctify, that means to make you holy, to sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept sound and blameless the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Father who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Finally, I ask for you, beloved, pray for me and for my family.